Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty. Snap reactions, quarterback position from week 7. Here we go. So Patrick Mahomes, so I wanted to do a theme this week, which was look at preseason RDPs, where they are now, and sort of trying to think ahead about where they might be. And yeah, throwing some stats in along the way, but I think it's really interesting. Quarterback one, and I'm not going to do every quarterback, but there's some themes that pop up. Mahomes is quarterback one coming into the season. He's fifth in points per game, seventh in expected points, 3.4 over expectation. He's got a 6.5 touchdown rate. It's fine. That's fine. I think some of the some of the other stuff in regards to the tape stuff, I mean, like 24th in terms of PFF grade, frankly, I don't care. This is like a floor scenario. Like, all right, he's going to be 24th in PFF grade. He's going to have he's going to lead the league in interceptions. He's going to be lower in terms of big time throws than he has been at other points in his career. He's going to have the lowest yards per attempt in his career, and he's going to be quarterback five. Like, sign me up. If that's the floor, this is the most durable asset in all of Dynasty. So sign me up at that price. Josh Allen was quarterback two, is quarterback two now. So he's producing exactly on expectation, which is a massive success given I don't think that's necessarily what you were drafting him there for. You're more drafting him for, you know, longevity and all that stuff. Like, yeah, you want the ceiling too, but he's producing at the ceiling at a tender age too. So that's good to see. He's actually under expectation, which is pretty interesting. He's basically 4 points under expectation per game. He's three touchdowns passing under expectation, and he is just a little over two in terms of runs under expectation. So I'm sure his stumble on fourth down was probably a decent amount of expected rushing points that were not cashed in. So that's probably one of them. Kyler Murray, he's 3-3. So some things here with Kyler I think are interesting. Like when you, I guess the easiest way to say this is, like, I think when you look at quarterbacks in particular, when I look at quarterbacks, I want them to be passers. I want them to be able to run, but I also want them to be able to pass. And one of the big problems that I've had with, like, Lamar Jackson, of how to sort of conceptualize Lamar Jackson, is he's still doing basically 30-35% of his production on the ground, which is just not – it's a really rare profile. And ultimately, you end up having to win from, you know, as a passer, as you sort of evolve. And he has yet to – really make the transition into being like a high end, even a cracking 70 in terms of percentage of his points coming from passing. He has yet to do that. So that gives me a little bit of pause. With Murray, 75% coming in his rookie year, 66% last year was of his points were through the air, 86.2% this year. His expectation right around the exact same spot where he was in his rookie season. So we're really seeing an elevation in terms of his passing game. That's a pretty good indication for me. And he was running a ton last year, so he had basically 6.1 points per game expected last year, 9.3 total. So again, a lot of that was, hey, you had a ton of production, but you sort of look at very similar production boost from his first year to this year, right around, you know, the mid threes in terms of expectation, you know, the fours in terms of actual production. So he's producing over expectation. He has on the ground his entire career. And now you're seeing the jump up to being quarterback three. 7.6 touchdown rate, a little bit high. But again, I think ultimately you look at that and you're like, okay, like, now that's seeing some growth. Second highest PFF passing grade, 9.4% big time throw. So you're seeing a lot of stuff there. I'm a proponent of Kyler Murray at this point. You know, I think I'd have him in the elite tiers of, you know, up there with Allen and Dak and Murray. And, you know, and then it's probably a little bit closer of a tier break for me. But I do think you get up there into that group. I think he belongs there. So that's a good notable step for him. Dak Prescott, quarterback four, coming into the season in RDP. He's quarterback six. Coming off of that leg injury, you'll take it. He's fourth in terms of expectation of scoring. He's got 95% of his points coming from the passing game. This is pretty wild. So 95% this year, 95.8 to be precise. last year, it was 81.5% of his points coming through the passing game. He had 5.5 points coming through on the ground per game last season. It's down to 1.2 this year. He has an expectation of 3.9. It's actually the first time in the 3 years that PFF has tracked the data that he's performed under expectation. So this year, 95.8% of his production is coming through the passing game. Last year was 81.5, and the year before that, 88.6. So you are seeing a transition from him being a running threat, but somewhere between 10 to 20%. Much more looks like Stafford in terms of his production right now, in terms of it being 95%+ of your work is through the passing game. I don't think that's I'm not that doesn't concern me. It actually is a sign of growth, and I think that he can get some of that passing stuff. He can get some of that rushing stuff back as he sort of gets back in and ready and more comfortable with all of his recovery from injury and all that. So that's not a concern, but I think it is it's an elevation of his game. And you know, you listen to some of the quarterback coaches and some of the quarterback analysts who know a lot more about quarterbacking than I could ever dream of knowing, and they all talk about how Dak is he's like Peyton Manning at the line of scrimmage. We're seeing that and pop up in terms of his production. So I think that's notable, and he does have ceiling left to gain because he can add that back in the rushing game. Some other guys here of note, Lamar, in terms of his, here's the reason why he concerns me a bit. 67% of his production in his 2019 season was on the ground. 67% was in the air, 63% last year, and then 68% this year. He's yet to crack 70% of his fantasy scoring being through the passing game. That just gives me a concern that about you know where he ends up being in terms of production. He's quarterback 1, quarterback 11, quarterback 7 those 3 years. So quarterback 1 in his 19 season, 11 last year, and 7 this year. I think that you're going to struggle to get all the way up to the elites. And you look like each year it's fallen a point in terms of his points per game expected in 20. Or his points per game actually produced in 2019, it was 10.8. In 2020, it was 9.5, and this year it's 8.6. So you're sort of seeing that drop. It's coming, and then as a consequence, you sort of need to see the elevation of the passing game. We've yet to fully see him truly have a big time takeover in terms of how he can produce points. So it gives me just a little bit of pause a long term. I like the player, and I think ultimately he's probably going to get signed. I do like the steps he's taken as a passer. Ultimately, you look, he's 11th in terms of PFF grade, for example. He's good. He's good at that. He's a good passer. I just have some concerns about the longevity of that profile. Again, only 10 touchdowns through the air on 225 attempts. So that is that's probably due for some regression in terms of some positive stuff for him going forward. Joe Burrow is another one. Again, I had some skepticism up at the top of the board. I know a lot of people were cheerleading him because of the volume. They just said, he's got really sustainable volume. Well, it hasn't been. I mean, he's 29th in terms of expected points. He's 14th in terms of actual points per game. 8% touchdown rate's definitely building that. 7.9 points per game over expectation. So he's just crushing that. I mean, he's 50% over his expected points. It's just tremendous production. But Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, 10.3 per game over expectation and 8.5 per game over expectation for Jameis Winston. They're the only guys with more over expectation of the qualifiers than Burrow. So the question then becomes is this a situation where we're just going to see low volume and he's going to need to get away with really high efficiency, or are we going to see more, are we going to see more of a growth in the passing game as they sort of rely on it? When you look at their offense too, it's one of the top five in terms of yards per play. So I'm not sure we're going to see a huge difference in terms of rates and in terms of volume and all that stuff. It gives me just some pause about the eliteness of the ceiling. Again, I like the player, but if he's going to be, quarterback one at a quarterback two production, quarterback at a quarterback one cost, he's going to give you quarterback 1/2 production. Like, there's just easier ways to go. I mean, you can get Kirk Cousins rounds and rounds later, and you know, and just sort of circulate through that spot. It just gives me a little bit of pause there with his production. So I think ultimately they'll have to throw the ball more, but it just gives me a little bit of pause there in terms of where he's at. Rodgers, 12, he was coming in terms of his RDP. He's quarterback 12 right now, 13th in terms of RDP. He's 14th in terms of expectation, and he's 20th in terms of attempts, 6.8 touchdown rate. Everything's pretty sustainable, and you look and you think he's probably got higher ceiling if the passing attempts ever go up. Jalen Hurts is 7th in terms of safe league scoring. His RDP was 13 coming into the, you know, throughout the offseason. 4.1 touchdown rate, so you think, okay, that's not terribly high. Like, that can go up. But 5th in terms of scoring expectations, so that's, again, you sort of look at that, you think that's pretty good. Here's what the rub, and this is one of the concerns that I have with him ultimately. 64.6% of his points are passing points. It's by far the lowest percentage of points through the air for any quarterback that's a regular starter. It's in the range of like Justin Fields and Trey Lance in terms of guys that have sort of taken some spot starts or whatever. It's really, really low number. So when you look at that, like, you just transition that forward, it gives me some pause about where he is going forward in terms of their mind as a passer. He's 21st in terms of overall PFF grade when you just look at qualifiers. He's actually 20th, and that's like behind Wentz, right? He's in the Wentz this is crazy. He's in the Wentz 19 through 22 is Wentz, Hurts, Brissett, Mahomes. So that's the range of the position that he's at. So I guess there's hope. So that's pretty much the interesting part of the position there for him. I have a little bit of concern if they're going to transition fully. You know, is this a job you're going to give to him? Because you've got a lot of assets up at the top of the board, you're probably going to be able to spend on a quarterback if you want, including but not limited to being an end to Deshaun Watson potentially this week. All right, the other theme I would say is like quarterbacks in the teens with at least a hit, a lot of them multi-hits. Ready? Quarterback 13 for Rodgers, he's at quarterback 12. These are RDPs to where they are standings right now. Tannehill was quarterback 15. He's 22 in terms of points per game. So he's one of the few that's actually down. Stafford, cost of RDP 15. He's up at quarterback 4 in terms of points per game. Wentz, 21 in the offseason. He's 18 now. Cousins, 22 in the offseason. He's 10th in terms of points per game now. Matt Ryan, 22nd in the offseason. He's 17th in terms of points per game now. It's actually come back a little bit and probably an underrated story. He's probably still a potential buy low guy. Brady, 22 in terms of RDP in the offseason. He is number one in terms of points per game scoring. Derek Carr, 26th in terms of offseason RDP, 16th in terms of PPR scoring on a per game basis. Jared Goff is the other one that is actually below his cost, 28th in terms of cost in the offseason. He is 29th in terms of scoring. So really good. You know, you just sort of hit that range of the position. It has overperformed, and it's overperformed for basically four of the top 12 guys, including number one, including two top sixes, right? So, I mean, that's a really good range there, and you haven't had anyone really fall on their face except Goff, who's basically performed at cost. So I think that's it's always an interesting position. You juxtapose that to the guys that have not proven it yet. Trevor Lawrence, quarterback 7 coming into the season. He's 27th in terms of points per game, 17th in terms of expectation as well, so performing massively under expectation. Lance, 12th in terms of RDP, 31st in terms of per game scoring this year. Fields, 12th in terms of RDP, 38th in terms of per game scoring. Zach Wilson, 18th in terms of RDP, 35th in terms of per game scoring. And Mac Jones, 24th in terms of RDP, 26th in terms of per game scoring. If you banked on getting quarterback 2 production out of one of your rookie quarterbacks, you have not been successful. In terms of their expectation scoring, Lawrence is under it. Everyone else is pretty close to where they're performing. So Lawrence expected at 17. He's 10 spots below that. Lance expected at 37. He's actually overperforming it slightly. And then you look at Fields. He's at 31. Wilson, 33. And Mac Jones at 27. So is there room for growth? Yes. Are we being patient? Sure. Is there a reason why I don't invest in quarterbacks when I want to win? Yes. Like this, there's a clear reason why you take the guys that are proven producers, because they prove to produce again. So that's just a big takeaway there. All right, three more guys here that I think are notable. Tua, 17th in terms of RDP, 21st in terms of production. He's performing at expectation. He's north of 40% of his attempts are play action. So I think that's interesting. We'll see what potential side swiping happens from any Deshaun Watson trade. I'd be interested in that. And he is 16th in terms of PFF grade. He actually has more turnover-worthy plays than he does big-time throws. So that is notable. 7.1 yards per attempt. Danny Dimes, again, he's really interesting from like what are we going to see long-term out of him? How do they feel? He's 17th in terms of PFF grade. Again, way under expectation in terms of touchdowns. Like he has got a crazy low touchdown rate. 5 touchdowns in 241 attempts. That is just wildly low. So, I mean, you're looking at basically like 2% there. So that should go up at some point. And as a result, I think we should see some vaulting of his value. If that just corrects from 2% to 5%, right? Even you're not looking at a massive, you know, if you just put him at league average, just about 4.8, 5% somewhere in that range, like it's a big jump. And all the guys he's got hurt, again, I still hold out hope for Daniel Jones. I think he's an interesting player, especially with the rushing element that he offers. 72% of his production is in the air too, which is wild when you consider how little touchdown help he's getting. And Sam Darnold, he's again falling kind of through the floor. 26. He started off well, but it's not gone well. 6.8 yards per attempt. Sometimes you just are who you are. And Sam Darnold is a 6.8 yards per attempt guy. He just is who he is. And you can't change him. It's just who he is. And that's kind of where we're at with Sam Darnold. You know, he's 26th in terms of RDP, 24th in terms of scoring, 16th in terms of expectation, so he's underperforming it. I mean, at some point, you just that's what you are. You know, it's what the saying of you are what the scoreboard says you are, or what your record says you are. I mean, I don't necessarily buy all that, but in this one, your resume is pretty thorough and detailed about who you are as a quarterback. I think we can kind of take you at your word. So I don't think Darnold is a franchise quarterback, and I think that they should be in the market for it, and you should potentially pivot, you know, just pivot up the position if you can. Darnold, Mac Jones, something more durable. I totally am absolutely on board with that. All right, well, that'll do it. Again, just trying to give an overview of the position. I do think attacking some of the backup spots this week are interesting too from the perspective of, you know, it looks like as I'm recording this on Monday, it does look as if you are going to see Zach Wilson out for a bit in terms of his PCL injury there. So Mike White going to come in. He 33 dropbacks this past week, 6.3 yards per attempt. So again, not great, but he didn't come in prepared really to play. Just some notable stuff here with him, like a much lower time to throw, basically almost 3/4 of a second shorter time to throw than Zach Wilson. I think that's actually notable and interesting. So we'll see if the offense looks a little bit different. That's one spot to potentially look at. I don't think there's any concerns there with Dak Prescott. I think Dak's going to be fine here coming forward. I was some concern about his ankle or about his he was knocked out with a I think it was a calf right at the end of that game, and they had to buy, so he's going to be back. So I'm not super, super concerned about that. One other thing of note here, Case Keenum was pretty not great the other night, so I don't think this is a situation where he's going to take a job from Mayfield or anything like that. He's notably worse in terms of season-long PFF grade. He had one turnover-worthy throw to zero big-time throws. And it's actually Baker's, has a decent 5.5% big time throw rate. So I think when you sort of look at it, like, yeah, Baker's getting his job back. I'm not super, super worried about that. And I don't think it was much of a debate, but that is a notable one in terms of, I think you might see more spot starts out of Case Keenum. All right, well, that'll do it for quarterback snap reactions for week 7. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. Be on the lookout for running back, wide receiver, and tight end in the next day or so. And we'll talk again very soon.